Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hi, Johnny.
Are you
How
excited
are you?
About our guest today?
Oh, my gosh. So very, very much. Did you know that our guest is Motown royalty?
Oh, really?
So you did not know that, huh?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes. I bet your all the listeners are wondering who we are talking about. So go ahead, Johnny, and tell them what series we're doing today.
The Playboy Playmate series.
Yeah. Yvonne Carter, Miss June 1994, is Motown royalty. And we have her here today. Plus, she's a very good friend of mine. We go way back. So welcome, Yvonne Carter.
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Jonathan. How are you guys?
Oh,
I'm happy to be here. I'm very excited.
I am so excited to have you because we always get into some really good conversations. We're playmates from the 90s. I was 92,
yes.
You were 94, and all of those playmate sisters usually, I don't know if you use that term, but, you know, I love the playmates, and we work together, and we had a different time with Hess,
yeah,
the mansion, the company, everything. Yes, and I want to get all into that. And it was special, and I think it is different than any other decade. What do you think?
Well, I know that when, you know, we have a group of playmate sisters, and certain girls kind of gravitate to other girls. And when people bring Barbara up, I just start laughing. And I always tell people, you know what, besides us being friends for a long time, we used to always work together because we were, you know, we always did the mansion parties, but we got into the most shenanigans. And I used to crack me up. I used to tell everyone,
really?
Barbara's one of my favorite people because she makes me laugh because you used to cuss people out, not in a bad way, but I used to sit back and laugh. I have the funniest
I'm laughing because
you.
That was what I was going to say. I was going to bring that up when we talked. I was saying, you were saying, gee, well, when I talked to you about Elin Carter, I talked to Elin, and I said, do you know Barbara Moore? And you went, yeah, she cusses a lot.
Oh, my gosh, Johnny, you're not alone then. Because I get after Johnny a lot because, you know, I feel like I should be living in New York. I'm fat. You know, I want to move on this stuff. And I get snappy. I do, but it's in a funny way. So, and
but,
everybody
but
says that
thing
along.
Is,
they're like, you make me
you
laugh.
Were funny.
I
Barbara,
know.
You didn't know you were funny. And that's why I would
Aww.
Laugh because everyone has a different personality. And whenever we would work together, she would do stuff. And, you know, I will go off on people, too. I have a potty mouth, but only when it – you have to really put me there, but people would do stupid stuff, and Barbara would just say anything, and I would just start cracking up. I have a couple of really funny stories. I don't know if we can talk about any of them,
yes.
But one that sticks in my head is the limousine. Did you remember when we worked and we did the limousine, and we had the photographer in the limousine? Do you remember that story? What the photographer did, and we had to get out, and we were filming, and we all had to trail out the limo because we were filming something.
Oh.
We're on Sunset. Do you remember that
I
story?
I do now. That you stayed with the limo, and we were mad at the photographer. What did he do? I now, oh my gosh, how could I forget this? I was like, before we went
oh
on air,
God.
She's like, remember this? I'm like, oh my gosh, but now?
There, okay, can I say this
flashing.
On the air? Can I say whatever? Am I allowed
oh, yeah.
to tell anything?
We are, adult, we're over 18, yes.
Okay. You're going to make me, I'm going to start laughing. I got to get the story because I want to be able to talk. He crop dusted us. And he got out the car.
Wait, I already missed it.
Off.
What did he do?
He crop dusted us. Do you know what that is?
No.
Explain to her what crop dusting is. And then
I don't know what that
means.
Crop dusting?
You don't know what crop dusting? You ever
maybe.
Walk, you ever go out into a store and you walk into a cloud and a smell hits you and you're like, what the
yes.
hell? Who did that? Or you're
okay.
in the elevator and somebody
we
walked out
farted?
That's crop dusting.
In the limo.
Yes,
in the limo
you
to all of us.
Oh
playmates?
My God. it was, no, we were in the car and we were getting out, and he was, I guess he bent over to get out. And that's the funny, that is the first time I've seen Barbara go off. And I literally cried all night laughing because I couldn't finish shooting. We shot all night and I just couldn't stop laughing. You cussed the man out so bad. He was
what
so
did
embarrassed.
I do? This is funny. I can see myself doing that though, because I can, I mean, I have boundaries. I'm so nice until you
no,
cross
you
that.
You
that was crossing.
Right?
I wanted to
so
say
fun.
Something. Elin, I want to make sure that you notice this. This is something about how it's – I did an impersonation one time of what it's like to talk to Barbara when she complains about something, and it usually goes something like this. She'll start off really quiet, and she'll be like, I went out to a photo shoot tonight, and the photographer wasn't there.
What? Oh, God, Johnny. He's talking about my intonation,
yes.
And how I speak it
well,
up and down. Yes,
and
I
that's
guess
exactly
it does.
What happened.
One sentence you're screaming.
The guy got out
okay,
yes.
Well, the
guy, let
the
her
guy
continue.
Got out of the window, and I think it was an accident. I think he just kind of bent out, and he turned so beat red because they had all these playmates in the back of the car, and we're filming. We had to keep going in and out, and I think he accidentally must have busted one when he got out of the limo, and Barbara goes, did you just effing bust your ass? Because she went from quiet and she wouldn't let it go. And the man was so embarrassed. I started feeling bad. It was so funny. She goes, God damn it. It was just me and Barbara in the car. And we're like, what the hell? And we couldn't get out because they were filming. So they were like, these guys, you got to wait. We're like, no, get us out there. Oh, my God. She's like, get us out the damn car. And the man was so embarrassed. She didn't let it go. So we filmed all like for like 5 more hours, and she would not let that go. And I swear to God, ever since then, every single time we did a job, she would just do something crazy, and I just start laughing. It's the way she does it. It's just really funny.
Oh, and people see that, you know, I'm not even saying anything funny, but they laugh. Echo always says that too. But oh my gosh, that was a funny memory. But it obviously was not a Playboy photographer.
No, it wasn't.
No. But I hope
you
that
said
all
I could
of
tell
them
the story,
are listening.
Though.
They're going to laugh. And they're going to say.
You said I could tell.
Oh, gosh.
Go ahead.
I could just picture it right now. But these photographers are going to say, if they hear this, I'm glad that wasn't me. How embarrassing. I don't let
but it was
go.
Funny,
so
though.
It must have been me, Alon. How could you get that confused with any other playmate? I mean, that was a funny story. It was me. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm
but you
sorry.
Know why?
I hope
it
I didn't embarrass you.
Also, no, you didn't, because you weren't like she. Like some of the girls try to be really cool. And I was like, she's really cool. Like she could laugh and have a good time. And whenever we worked together, it was always a story that we always had, like an adventure. It was always really funny. So we just had a good time, even though it was like back in the day. And even though it's an outlandish story, it was just like that kind of broke the ice. I'm like, this girl is hilarious. And then we just kind of clicked. And
but
no one told Barbara what to do. Barbara was funny to me always.
So then Johnny now doesn't feel as bad. I'm not singling you out, Johnny.
Right.
Just, that's my personality. And deep down, I am a nice person. But I just want to say that the 90s playmates, just how you started out talking about, it's always work. It's always playmate promotions, and we are modeling and acting and going on castings.
Yep.
And I'm sure you've heard about the A&E special or have maybe watched some episodes,
mm-hmm.
but you know, hey, there was not that option. For me, we were used as not used. Okay. We were working for Playboy mm-hmm. Enterprises. I thought that for a long time, I was thinking that it was completely separate than Hef. But I'm now not thinking that it was. But when you're working there so much like you and I did, traveling and shooting, because we're there and we want to be models and actresses and Playboy's helping us, and it's wonderful. And it was different. I'm not relating so much to the problems with Playboy that those other women had, because
mm-hmm.
I mean, we were working. I felt like they really
well. We
loved
also
us.
Came
I felt
out
like
during
you were valuable.
We worked all Well, we worked all the time. We were always on the airplane, which was exciting. We were always going on interviews, and we actually were doing a lot of radio stuff back then, and we're doing TV interviews. But we also were in the 90s where he was married to Kimberly. So because
right.
he came out during that time, it was very professional. It was more like modeling. So the whole – I actually haven't watched the – Playboy stuff. My actually son has been watching it and telling some of the stories, and he said he saw me in a picture with someone the other day when they were doing some of the stories up at the Fun. Mansion. So I don't think there's a group of girls that experienced some of their issues. I don't discount and say they didn't go through that. I didn't personally, but I can't say someone else didn't, because I didn't have
me
that
either.
Experience. And he had a type, though, that he liked, and I wasn't that type, so I wasn't worried. I always felt like it was professional, but I grew up in a background where I had a famous father, and so I grew up in entertainment, and I was doing well as a model before I did Playboy. So because of
now,
that, I didn't
– That's right.
Okay.
And so I didn't have to – it wasn't new to me, this business, and so I didn't have to do certain things. I think some of the girls that – come to the mansion, it's so overwhelming, not being exposed, some of them from small towns. I think some of them were vulnerable because they were afraid to say no, and so they got caught up in some of the things, not knowing what they were getting into. And then as you get older,
I
and your interests change. Yes, and they're saying, well, you know, I look back on it, and this is what happened. So I don't discount that things didn't happen. I'm not going to say it didn't, because I don't know. I've heard stories. When during a time, I did hear stories.
Oh, really?
And we,
I didn't
yeah,
really hear anything.
I did, but
before
it doesn't
you go
matter.
On, I want to hear.
It's hearsay.
Well, I mean, it's
but
interesting.
The thing is, we worked. We worked all the time. We did all these jobs, and we met lots of people. It was a great opportunity to parlay your career to the next level. I think that looking back now, because Playboy's, the whole icon is gone, and I realize even more now how valuable it was and Aww. Still is. My mother was a Playboy bunny at the Great Gorge in New Jersey when I was a little
oh.
girl. So that's kind of
oh, wow.
how I got the back. Right. And,
oh,
so
yeah.
that, and she
that's
was dating my
that's...
stepfather then. Right.
I wanted...
So I have a picture of her.
Okay,
so,
in the bunny costume? We would love
yeah,
to interview her. We interview,
yes.
we interview the bunnies from the 60s and 70s. My friend Sandra Costa.
Yeah, she was in the 70s.
We're not
mm-hmm.
playmates, but they have so
right.
many great stories. Oh, I would
yeah.
love to meet her.
So I remember
what color did she
wear?
Girl.
She had this orange one she liked a lot, but they had different colors. She would have different colors. And I remember going to Great Gorge with her when I was a little girl staying in the cabin. Like, she would go and work that night, and then the girls had a cabin up there, and I would stay in the cabin. And
is this a New
and
York
go to work.
Or
this
New
is New
Jersey?
Jersey.
Okay,
the New
Jersey.
Jersey. Great Gorge is
Club.
One of the most famous ones, one of the most famous
okay.
clubs, the Great
yes.
Gorge one.
I've heard of this.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
And she had positive experiences?
Yeah, she did. She said that, she said it was hard work because her feet hurt, because they were on their feet all day. And they were, like, from a different time, so they had to hold their trays a certain way. It was totally different than the bunnies that came out later. So that part of it, she
oh,
said,
yeah.
was difficult. You know,
they were just models in bunny costumes.
I have a question.
Yeah, they weren't the waitresses.
No. The only reason I want to go ahead and ask this is because Barbara hasn't asked this yet, but the only reason we do this series is because we like to find out how you became a playmate. So, Barbara, is it okay
right.
if we ask her that now?
Well, sure, but I,
okay.
you know, back to being Motown royalty.
Okay, that's fine, that's fine. Just make
know,
sure we ask.
With,
I just want to remind you about
that. Otis
okay.
Williams, one
I'll
of the original
I'll,
founders.
I'll tell that.
And she's gorgeous.
Oh.
Okay,
oh,
I'm going to let you.
She's always, Barbara's always had one of the best bodies, and she still does. So what happened was I was modeling and actually was overseas modeling. I had just come back from living in Austria. I was living in Vienna, and I had done a lot of music videos and commercials. And back then, well, there was no internet, so it was a catalog. So I was like the catalog queen too. And I used to always meet my mother for lunch because she worked in advertising during the day because my agency was up the street, and I would always go in the building. She worked in the Playboy building. And so they kept saying, the security guy kept asking her who I was, and she's like, that's my daughter. He goes, well, you know Playboy's upstairs. She goes, she's not going to do it. So anyway, they asked me a couple of times, and then one day I come in, they had some Playboy people there, and I was in the lobby, and they approached me, and they said, well, just come test for it. And I was like, yeah, I didn't think anything of it. And I was nervous because I was a little bit more curvy. I did more like bathing suit and lingerie stuff too.
Yes.
You know,
how
I was
old were you?
Curvy. And I was like, yeah. I was like 21, 22. I was 20. I was
okay.
Young because I
Very
think when
young.
I came out, I was like 23. So anyway, I tested and they asked me to do it. So it went on for like 6 months off and on. And then one day, I don't know what happened, but I was like, yeah, my dad's one of the Temptations. I'm like, what do you mean? You didn't tell us that. And I'm like, oh, you didn't ask. Because
so,
you know, it was so normal to me.
Wow.
I didn't think anything of it. And so they were like, really? Can we go to one of his shows? I was like, yeah, sure, come on. And so they came to one of the shows and they asked me to go on stage because the Temptations always do a rendition of My Girl and bring the audience members up. Well, I can't sing a lick, but they had me do it anyway. And so he actually is on my front page. But I had been shooting for 6 months before they even knew that. And see a lot
You're
of
gorgeous.
People. Oh, thank you, Barbara. And you too. And then people would see me at the mansion. They would do the parties, and they would go like Berry Gordy, Smokey Robinson. And so they were like, oh, well, that's Otis's daughter. What are you doing here? You know, they all knew who I was.
That's funny.
And that's how that
Isn't
story
that
is.
It's surreal,
yeah.
Really. You know, because,
yeah. So,
well, I mean, were you ever thinking when you were really young, around 12, around teenagers, about Playboy at all?
No, I didn't even think anything of it. I knew my mother had been in there. And now that I have two kids, my son was having some issues in school last year because his friends kept saying, oh, yeah, your mom's in Playboy. And they kept bringing my pictures up and showing it to them and everyone around the school. And he had an issue with it. And I said, well, you know this. You know what's going to come up. But if your friends are still looking at your mom from 1994, then you should be happy.
Yeah,
that was
right.
So long ago, and they're still looking at my pictures.
It's very beautiful.
I want to say something about that because I want to say something about that, about kids and everything. But what it is that what I like about it is that what Playboy does, and this is sort of the way I think Playboy does it, is that every Playmate that I've seen has been gorgeous, but they're different. They're not all the same. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and bring this up again, but whenever I think of Barbara, I think of something about Mary, that I think of Mary, because the movie's something about Mary. But that's
okay,
her.
So it's super nice, but not?
Well,
is that what
no,
you have
super nice, but
skin,
what I'm saying is, yeah, super nice, but it's always like, in the movies, they always bring out some drop-dead gorgeous lady, but she doesn't have any personality. But when something about Mary, the lady did. That's why I compared
yeah.
her to Barbara, because,
oh,
you know, Barbara
that's
was
right.
super, super nice. You know?
I get it. Hold on, Johnny. Johnny,
but,
what the point he's trying to make is that he used to have stereotypes about Playboy Playmates until I started
right.
working on Life After Happiness 3 years ago. And then he's realizing, and I started bringing on the Playboy Playmates. I think you're the 26th one we've interviewed. And he's realizing, oh, my gosh, these people are nice. That is what I wanted to
say. Well, they are nice.
Not
yeah.
just you're
oh,
not,
yeah.
not just
All
you're
the
nice,
girls
but
are
you
nice.
Have a heart, you have a soul, you have a life, you have feelings,
yeah.
you go through hard times, you know.
Exactly.
And we want to showcase that.
And I also
and
want to
so
see something else.
No stereotyping anymore.
I want to see one of the things that I've noticed is this is one of the fun things about interviewing a playmate, and you both do this, but actually it's your elder of you seem to do this, but it's a great thing that you do this, is that you're prepare freaks with when it comes to getting things ready, which is great because that means that the show is it turns out wonderfully. Barbara's a prepare freak, but that's great, you know. She always loves to make
yeah.
sure that the YouTube, and she knows what I'm talking about, the YouTube,
yes,
Twitter.
Yes, but Johnny, may I add something to that? I like to prepare, but I am not a freak about it. That is your wording. I go and look at some bullet points. You know why? I want it to be organic. I don't maybe want to know every single thing. I don't.
Yeah, I'm not saying
you're a freak.
I'm trying to be positive about it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anyway.
But you know what, girls? One thing about Hefner, when he chooses girls, and I didn't know that, like they really kind of look at your background. And, you know, you go through such a process. I know some girls that have tried out for and they've tested, because they make you test for like 6 months before you really come out. They really prepare, maybe almost a year. And so they get to know your personality. And I think some girls, they just don't make it. They just can the shoot and go, you know what, we're not going to pick this person. And I now see that's because a lot of it has to do, he wants the girls to be attractive, beautiful, wholesome, sweet, and have interest in other things too. So he seems like he picked, when they say the girls next door, he also wants to have women who want to be mothers and have kids and also a good person as well as be pretty. He was very into that. Like he wanted to know the background of each and every one of us. So I think he did a good job of that. Especially when he was married to Kimberly, Kimberly was pretty on about what kind of girls and what kind of etiquette they should have. She was really good. With the 90s girls were very much like that. A lot of them were very classy.
We came in there just thinking that's how it has always been. And I'm now
And it wasn't.
But it wasn't all about business. It wasn't about book and play toy promotions, getting better for us and getting more money for us. I mean, we came along, I really believe, at just the best time. Really, if
we
you
did.
Look at
but
how
but you know
the
what
magazine
also
was doing.
Too, the play, but also, too, you're like, just to have a story, the Playboy Mansion, the stuff that you hear that has gone on, basically is it's the girls that have not been able to get in, but they always have had a lot of friends, and they have friends, and they're like, hey, you want to come to the Playboy Mansion? You can meet Hef. And all the girls are like, yes, I would love to come and meet Hef. And so they're in hopes that they will get in the magazine. And when we're there, we're just basically working. We would give people tours of the mansion, but it's all the other girls that are available for them for whatever reason they want it. But the girls that were actual playmates, we would take you on tours and talk to you. And then we're like, okay, it's now 12 o'clock. It's time for us to go home. We check out. Like, we're checking out the clock and we leave. So,
yes, that was a
job.
All
the other shenanigans. Yeah, it was a job. But the shenanigans really went down for the women that really wanted to get in. I mean, that's really kind of what happened. You know, unfortunately, they're like, oh, I want to get in.
Leverage to use. Had a lot of leverage with that. But I do remember right when he broke off with Kimberly, that he did come on to some playmates, including myself. Nobody has even wanted me to elaborate, which is funny until now all this is coming out. But I never had it wasn't bad. It wasn't horrible. He didn't force me to do anything, but he did try a few playmates. But then I think he realized, wait a minute, there's all of these 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old girls who just love me, who just want to be around me. Do you think that he deep down was thinking, I do have the leverage with holding the Playboy Playmate title over their head, or did he really kind of get confused and wonder, do they really actually like me for me?
He's a man. He doesn't care. I mean, you ask any man everybody wants to be Hefner. I don't care if you're green, purple, orange, blue, or Martian. Everybody wants to be Hugh Hefner. At some point, some man has put on a robe and some slippers for Halloween or pretended like he was Hefner. I mean, you know, the whole icon of it, I think at some point he's like, I just know I can do this. I don't care whether they like me or not anyway, and I'm just going to have fun. And he just had the life of every man wished that he had, you know. And now it would be a different time. It would be a Me Too thing. But we go.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad he missed that.
But a lot
actually
of it was exactly what you would get in trouble for. Like, you would get in trouble for it now, but he had a great time. It's like, of course. I mean, any man would have loved to be in his position. He could do less. And I'm sure he tried it. He tried it all. Why not? That's what his represented. Yeah, he represented sex. So he's going to try everything.
I have a question for you.
I
you know,
agree with that he should have. Go ahead.
One of my, sorry, Do I go on or do you want to go on, Barbara?
Yes, go on.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't want to cut anybody off. I don't want to cut anybody off.
No, you're
not. You know, one of my favorite shows of all time is Seinfeld. And I just checked your IMDb, and you were actually on one of my favorite episodes.
What?
Because this is the thing. One of the things that I love about Seinfeld is that Seinfeld tends to take something that's socially understood to be true, and then they reverse it. And this sort of falls into play with the episode that we're talking about. I don't know if you've seen this episode, Barbara, but there's this guy named Jimmy. The problem is that Jimmy talks about himself in the third person. So it's confusing. And it's Jimmy dribbles the ball. Jimmy slams the basket. Jimmy goes for the shot.
Okay.
Jimmy hurt.
Funny.
And
Oh my gosh.
Have you ever seen that episode, Barbara?
Probably, because I watched it all the time.
You probably didn't know it was
I'm
me.
I'm going to go watch it.
She didn't know it was me.
The episode?
The Jimmy.
Okay,
it's called
Jimmy.
The Jimmy.
Yeah. I looked at your IMDb and I saw another preview for a show, a movie that you did. And I love IMDb now that they will tell you, okay, it's being shown right now on Prime, and here's a trailer. And you can see the whole movie and see your part.
You can see the whole movie.
I love
that.
There's
another
movie.
And
we're going to get into what you're doing as far as producing.
Well,
we're going to get
there was
into
a movie.
What you're producing, but let's hear more about your part on Seinfeld, because I mean that is the prime time show out there at the time,
so
the biggest one. That's not easy to get on to.
No, when I auditioned for it, you know how like you want. I mean, I'm never going on so many auditions. I'm like, God, I want this one so bad. And that particular episode, I didn't really ever watch Seinfeld. I knew it was popular, but I never watched the show. So I went in and I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. I didn't think anything of it, that particular one. And they're like, oh, no, you got the job. So I was so excited. Everyone's like, oh, my God, Seinfeld. I'm like, what are you talking about? I've never watched the show. Anyway, I did the show. He was great. He was so much fun. And at the time, I drove a purple Porsche. And he was he had an obsession of Porsches. He had a collection of them. And he kept asking, who has the purple Porsche in the lot? I guess he saw the car because it was very different looking. I don't know if you remember, Barb, it had a purple top. And anyway, he started talking to me because I had this. Right. But it was like amethyst. It wasn't Prince Purple. But anyway, he started talking to me, him and his friend, because I had this Porsche. And so the whole time, like the whole week we shot the show, like they hung out with me. They were so down to earth. He was never like pretentious or anything. But also too, I think I was very relaxed and calm because I really didn't know him because I'd never watched the show. So I actually remember him being so kind and so fun. And that was one of the most fun shows that I did do. There's another movie that I did and I actually haven't put it on my IMDb. I did a movie with Matt LeBlanc before he got Friends. And it's so funny. I played his girlfriend on this movie, and he wanted to get this agent, and he couldn't get in the agent. And I was like, oh, I'll take you in because you're doing this movie with me. So I took him in. They signed him right away, and he got Friends.
Oh, wow.
Isn't
that
great story?
God.
I was good. Yeah, and it's so funny. I ran into someone that knew him one day, and he's like, I'm going to call him. I was like, call him and see if he remembers me because I got him his agent, and he got Friends right after that. And
oh my gosh, you're somebody that
the movie didn't come out.
Need to know. I will ask you a favor right now. Okay,
what?
I know that Seinfeld, Jerry will remember you because of you and the Porsche. I would love to get my cover, October 1993, that I was on with Jerry Seinfeld of Playboy, autographed by him. Do you know it's the second most popular cover ever, and it's going for $10,000. Yes, and the seven Playmates were on it. Well, one of them didn't become a Playmate. I don't even know her story. But, yes, do you know that cute cover that he's talking about?
You're
phone, a phone booth, and we're all stuffed in there.
Yeah,
yes.
I remember that one. That
I did that
so
right
crazy.
Before you became a Playmate, October 93.
I didn't know that.
94, and I'm
94,
on there, and it's so popular. And so that must mean that Playboy had a very good relationship with a lot of shows. Seinfeld, they liked to use Playmates. They put him on the cover with Playmates. I mean, that was unheard of for a comedian to do that. Do you know that? That's why it is so expensive right now. It didn't happen very often. So,
and
hey,
I did a job
maybe we
also
could ask
with Jim
him.
Carrey. I know we should ask him. I did a job right after that with Jim Carrey with Rebecca Ferrari, and they used a lot of Playmates for something that Jim Carrey did.
We did that with you.
We did it together.
I did that with you.
You know, I forgot that. I forgot about it, right? And Rebecca Ferrari said, you know, you did that job with me with Jim Carrey. I'm like, what are you talking about? I never did that. And she goes, do you not remember? I'm like, of course I did not remember. You know why? Now I figured it out. That night that we filmed, do you know that was the night they had that big earthquake in 94?
I totally forgot. How could I forget that?
I totally forgot I did the job. I didn't even remember that. But there was a lot of comedians. I mean, that's one thing. We had so many opportunities with really big stars, and they were all so kind to us. It wasn't like anyone was, like, not respectful or cordial. They weren't, like, overstepping any boundaries at all.
They looked up to Playboy.
Have you ever met Larry David?
They looked up to the Playmates.
Oh,
yes,
I haven't met Larry David, but he filmed his show down the street from my house, like the last season, and we would see him on the street all the time because he would be down there filming on the corner.
I have a picture with him just at a celebrity ski event. So, but you are so right about how we have access. I mean, not even access. We're working. We're elbowing. We are rubbing elbows with these celebrities. It becomes so normal to us. There's so many that we work with, but it's so nice to hear that you had such a great experience with Jerry Seinfeld. He was very quiet on the shoot that day with us.
He was
I
quiet.
Do remember.
He wasn't very, I think he was like, he's more like he's so into his craft that he was really, I remember him sitting there talking off to the side doing his lines, but I remember him being really natural and just to himself and very like just quiet, you know, just wasn't. He was young then, I don't know, but he was totally a nice guy. You know, nothing inappropriate.
Oh, he wanted everything to be
sure
perfect.
There were, he was a perfectionist. And you were like that.
We had to close the shoot down, Alon, for about an hour because he said, I am not wearing that shirt that the stylist got all kinds of clothes for him. He's like, I'm not going to wear any of those. And she had to go back out. We had
that is
we
so
had,
funny.
She had to go back out and he knew. It was so easy. He knew what he wanted to wear. He wanted to wear one of those mock crop turtleneck, not a total turtleneck, and he wanted it to be purple, long sleeve with jeans. He knew what he wanted, but why did he want that?
Yeah, because he had an image. He created the image. You know, he knew. That's why he did very well. Yeah, he's a talented guy.
He knew what he wanted. And then they chose me to do the little on the side when Life magazine came to, you know, film this and take pictures of him on the shoot at the studio. I was the one who got to play with him with the powder puff. And that's in Life magazine, which I'm very proud of because Life magazine, who gets to be in that?
Barbara, you worked all the time and you're funny because there are so many pretty girls. You were like stood out because you're hilarious on top of it and people like your personality. So, and that's a lot of it. Like, people get they know when someone walks in a room if they like their vibe and they have an it factor, and that has a lot to do with your energy when people are drawn
and
to
have
you.
Liked that and that have did like for the enterprises because we were working and he realized, wow, hey, look at this talent I have. I don't think it was like that so much in the 70s and it started in the 80s. For us it was perfect.
I think because he was older, we probably had a little bit more say so, and because he was just getting at the age where he would let us be ourselves. I don't know, you know, but I would think that some of the other girls from like the 70s and 60s is probably an era where he had more control over everyone. You know, we were a little bit more opinionated. You definitely were more opinionated. But I was too.
Well, do you think
I would just let you say whatever you want.
What would override it? Okay, Playboy, who the Playmates were working so much, making a lot of money for the company, and then the Playmates would go to the mansion, kick up their heels, get wild, and how you described me. And then my personality was completely different up there than I'm working. You know, I'm a professional. I'm doing, you know, I'm on time. All this stuff for promotions and traveling around the world. Things that, I mean, I was afraid. I wanted to have fun, but I also, when Hef came around, I was just trying to be on my best behavior. That is,
well, you
so want to
represent the company.
These other stories.
That's what.
How did you feel when you went to the mansion?
Well, for us, they, you know, you want to represent the company, and so you want to look to be looked upon with class and etiquette. I mean, there's other magazines that we could have done, and we chose not to because it was the whole name that came with Playboy. And one of the things my mother was saying is she was like, "Oh, well, but it's Playboy. It's different." You know, my father, he's like, "It's Playboy. It's different. It's okay." So I think you want to represent that when you're there. But, you know, we also got to go up there and have fun and be ourselves when we wanted to. And we just did the jobs we were told to do because we also wanted to keep working and we wanted to keep making money. And you would hear stories where someone would go on a job and it didn't, you know, work out properly, or girls would get in. I mean, some of the girls didn't get along. That's just what it is. I mean, you put a bunch of women together and sometimes – people get catty, so sometimes people did not get along, and you had some of the issues. But for the most part, it wasn't a lot.
Get drunk
because they didn't
like it when people
drugs
would go
really
and
bad.
Not represent. That you could drink and have cocktails at the cocktail party, but they wanted you to stay classy, and some just went off the rocker.
Well, and everyone, we knew that. And so they had usually when you put a bunch of women together, it could be difficult, but you really didn't have, you may have had one or two, but for the most part, you didn't have a lot of problems because you knew once you were there, you better, you know, represent the company well and do your job. And that's what
because
we did.
Were because there were big, huge parties like Wet n Wild. They would take 30 playmates and, but there's say, 700 at the time, 700 playmates. I mean, they all want to do it, except for the ones who are older, but they choose. So you have to, the first impression is a very, very important thing when you go to a big company like that, because they don't need to give you a second chance because they have so many behind you that are so gorgeous and ready to do a good job.
Oh, there's
job.
So many pretty women. And it's like being in a candy store. It's like you have a variety of whatever flavor you like, but all of them are beautiful no matter what flavor it is. But I remember we did the Wet n Wild in Las Vegas. Remember that we had the party and we did that. We did so many fun things. And I think it kind of subsided because as Hef got older, it was too hard. And they were trying to keep the mansion up. So we really got a lot of opportunities in the 90s. I think that probably would be the most fun time I would say Playboy probably had.
They had money. They had money.
Yeah.
They were sending it all over the world, traveling, and
different
countries were popping up with their brand new Playboy magazine, with the brand new Playboy centerfold right there. And we did that. We were promotions. We really helped that company. I feel that Hef loved us. I feel that he cared about us and did care. I don't believe that he did not care, which were some comments on the A&E special that Hef just treated them like they were garbage, pieces of meat, and he did not care about them.
But I think
that was not true at all.
You know what, Barbara? Go ahead.
No,
Johnny,
hold on.
No, sorry,
Johnny,
hold on.
I need her rebuttal first, please.
I know.
So Johnny can talk. What I was going to say is there are some girls, though, I don't think he cared for. There are a couple that I don't think he liked. I would hear stories of some girls. I don't know about him being rude to them, but I do know I've heard people that were there, that worked there, would say it's not his favorite, and he probably was standoffish.
Oh, really? I never heard.
But I don't know. I wasn't there. Like I said, I don't validate and say what the girls are not saying is true because everyone is different and you're going to treat people different and everyone's personality is different.
Right.
So it depends on the girl and their experience.
When you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend differently than you treat like everybody else, I mean, that is different.
The girlfriend and the wife, the spouse, is totally different. Being married and dating is like night and day. It's not the same experience. So, you know,
let me ask you this. Why do you think that Hef went along Kimberly's way when that was so seemingly out of his character? And then hasn't really done that for anybody else.
But you know what? Kimberly was very classy. She was more of a model, like more model, like with what one of the big agencies. I think she started having kids with him. And so I think he had a different kind of respect for her. I think that he was actually happy for the time being. For whatever happened in their relationship, I think probably because he's so much older, Kimberly may have outgrown him and then probably look back and go, maybe I should have stayed. I don't know what happened. But
It was nothing bad.
She was a different type of woman from what had come through there. And, you know, I was around her a couple of times, and a couple of times that I've been around her, she didn't seem like everybody else that had come through there. That's probably why he was attracted to her.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I think after you're being married, then he wanted to go back wild again. He's probably like, oh, okay, now I can store my oats. I'm going back buck wild. I don't know. But he's probably
They didn't break up because of that.
But she also had rules. Like, she wanted the playmate to look a certain way. She wanted only certain type of play. I do know that. She was really instrumental, I heard, in picking some of the girls.
How did you?
Yeah,
you
she was instrumental
so
in picking
much
some of
insider
girls.
Stuff. I want to know.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell
all
of these things now. Because she never. Sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry I interrupted. But, I mean, she never does interviews. So you found out. Yes. You found out.
I was around a couple of times, and I was around that kind of click and circle, and I knew people that knew her well. And so I just would kind of listen what people would say about
Julie? Julie Cialini was very close to her.
No, but I know she was really close to her, but I never heard any stories from Julie. I'm talking about people that knew, that worked, and that was friends with her.
But that's not a bad story. Saying is not a bad story that you heard that that Kimberly Hefner wanted playmates to carry themselves in a certain way and a very high standard. That's good.
I just think that after they were married is probably when, you know, he started getting the girlfriends again and having a good time. I don't know why they broke up personally, but, you know, that's probably when he said, okay, well, I'm not married anymore and now I'm going to have fun. So the other girls that are complaining are probably having different experiences because it might have been right after he got divorced. And he's back to having a good time. So he probably went back to the 60s and 70s.
Right. I mean, doesn't everybody have a right to say, this is what I want. If you would like to join me in what I want, fine. And for some odd reason, Kimberly, maybe they both, you know what, they both wanted it. Because he's a romantic deep, deep down. Can you imagine all of the conflict? Maybe he had conflict going on in his mind. All these gorgeous women that wanted him and this gorgeous woman that he was in love with that said no. I mean, wow.
I think,
they were married a long time.
I think I'm going to say this. I'm going to jump in and say this because this is something I want to comment on. I think what Hugh Hefner did, there is a couple of things that I'm sure we can all prove. Hugh Hefner never forced anyone to pose for the magazine. He never forced anybody to do it. So obviously he must have had a good enough relationship with them to ask them to do that, you know, and the fact that there's too much of a track record of him treating people good. Like, for example, it's not just Barbara that he was nice to. I mean, he was nice to Priscilla when her daughter's been on the show, so I'll go ahead and say her name. But, like, he's probably met Priscilla a few times. And, you know, there's a track record. There's too much of a track record.
Yeah, but what are you saying that they're saying wrong, Johnny? Okay, what are you offended by that they're saying wrong about Hap? I'm not offended by anything.
I'm not offended by anything. I'm just saying that I believe that he's a nice person because his track record for being nice is too great. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but what if you were his girlfriend at the time? Maybe he said, look, I don't want you to cut your hair off and look like an old lady. I liked it long, okay? Now I am mad. I've had boyfriends that get mad at me for more than that, right? What are you saying that's offensive?
As a man,
about that. I don't know anything about
that. Johnny,
let her
finish, please.
Sorry.
No, so I was going to say, Johnny, as a man, does sex have anything to do with you being nice? Or
like
what I'm trying to say is that he was polite with everybody, and it seemed like he was treating everybody good. That's all. I don't think it's
well. You know what? Okay, so but the process of getting in the magazine, most of the girls like submit themselves or go through someone to get in. So they've gone through a different. They've gone through a process before they even get to Hefner. And then he's kind of
asking Playboy. Half isn't asking them. They are contacting the magazine.
Right.
So,
so
it's not like
time,
once they get there, he has to talk them into it. And Johnny still thinks
this
so once, Alon.
Well, I think that this what happens is you, there's a process to get in there. And then supposedly, and I think a lot of people, it comes into play. He has a final approval. Yes, I like this girl. She could get in or no, right? Because you do the test shoot and do a couple test shoots. So he approves who he likes, who he doesn't.
Okay.
You get to Playboy, and then it's so overwhelming to see this mansion. It's fascinating. And then once you do, then the girls are like, oh, my God. And so it's like a starry-eyed girl who comes
Hollywood. I don't put it in defend anybody. I just
– Oh, no, it's not offensive. We're just telling you how – how it works. And then the girls.
Yeah, we don't want a bunch of explanations. We just want to hear Alon.
Yeah, I just
and I want to know Alon. What was your relationship with Hugh Hefner, personally?
Oh my, he was nice
that.
To me. He knows he was always nice to me. I went out to dinner a couple times with mutual friends with him and Kimberly.
Really?
And he knew I was Otis's daughter, so he was a Temptation fan. So he was always really nice. Like I didn't have any bad experiences at all.
No,
I didn't.
I wouldn't imagine you would.
He never was weird to me. He never, like, said anything inappropriate. He was always really nice, you know, so.
I didn't think so. But, I mean, you were saying you were around a few times. Going out to dinner with Kimberly and Hef and a group of people isn't just around a few times. It's not many Playmates went out to a restaurant with Hugh Hefner.
Well, I have a friend who was very good friends with him at that time, and so – it was only a couple of times. They probably don't even remember. But and so they were always really cool. It was totally separate from Playboy. But you know, they'd be like, you know, she's Otis's daughter. She's a Playmate. He goes, yeah, I know she is. I don't know if he remembers me or not. But he was always really nice.
That's so funny, Alon. That because I did that kind of thing too myself. I introduced myself to Hef probably a few months after I already was Miss December, and he's like, I know who you are. Like, but you wonder sometimes because you're working so closely with Marilyn Grabowski, you're starting to think that she's making all the decisions, but she wasn't. Hef overseed and made every final decision with all of
the decision. She's the one who got us in. Like, Marilyn's the one who saw me in the building going to lunch with my mom. The security guard called Marilyn down. And said, you got to meet
Marilyn
this girl. She keeps coming. Yeah, he kept saying, you got to see this girl. She comes in with her mom all the time, and I want you to see. Because he kept asking, you want to go up to Playboy? I was like, no. And Marilyn was in the lobby. And that's how
And this was in Hollywood on Sunset
Boulevard? Yeah, it was on Sunset. Mm-hmm. That's when
and
it was
mom
on Sunset.
Was, your mom was working
she
in that
and
same
She worked
field.
In advertising. Yeah, my mother was in advertising. She was a media director. She ran one of the companies that was on the floor, and Playboy was above it. And that's how I got in. And then when they found out my mom was a Playboy bunny, they were laughing. They're like, are you kidding? You got to be in the magazine. Your mom was a bunny, because they didn't even know
and
that.
And then the Temptations. And then later, after you were already shooting with Playboy for months, you just dropped that. You're also your dad's one of the Temptations.
right. And they're like, really? How come you didn't say it? I'm like, you didn't ask me. But it was
it's
so
inspiring.
It was normal. Yeah, but it was fun. Yes, like, I look back on it now, and it was such a good – we had so much fun. We did. I forgot we did the Wet n Wild show. We did so many shows. And
but
we always
Alon,
had, like, some shenanigans. What?
I know.
But our shenanigans
but that's your centerfold.
Fun.
Your centerfold, when you have more of an edge, like, a theme like the Temptation, it's more memorable. Like I had the soda fountain thing. They did something completely different before and Hef didn't like it. And then I got to do the 50s thing, which made it memorable. Okay. That is important because if you look through all of the, I don't even think there's 1,000 Playmate Day in the world. So that's a special sorority. If you look through the Playboy Centerfold book, there's so many that are just in beds. I mean, that you've never even seen or heard from
that's
or don't
true,
know.
Huh? Yeah, that's yeah. true. I just thought that because we had that era, and so we kind of, because we got to travel a lot, it was a group of us, so we kind of became playmate sisters because we kind of got to work together all the time. So our relationships were different. I don't know, with the girls doing promotions like in the 60s and 70s, I don't even know if they were doing that kind of stuff. That
a,
we
little
did
a little bit. A little bit. They started in the 80s. A little bit. Like
they had
late
an airplane.
70s. But it wasn't like that. It wasn't this very powerful Playboy Playmate Promotions agency where we were booked out to clients where they tripled.
Right, like with the agency.
High the number. I mean, we were making so much money just to show up for 2 hours at their company party and sign autographs.
I know. That was so much fun. You know what I would like to find? You know what would be interesting? To find some of the Playmates, even though they're older, that were on the Playmate Playboy plane. Remember the Playboy plane back
yes.
in the day?
Get
I wonder
Bunny.
What went on there.
Yeah, Sandra,
I want to hear those
Sandra
stories.
Costa. I interviewed her. I'm
really?
Going to post more and share more because
we need those stories.
Yes.
That's an interesting.
Well,
because what are you doing? Like the Mile High Club. I don't know. What were they doing?
I love the Mile High Club. Do you know that you could rent a plane like that in Irvine?
Okay.
Well, years ago I did this for my boyfriend. I rented a small plane, and all in the back with a curtain, it's just a mattress with rose petals on it with a bottle of champagne.
Amazing.
Yes, and you
wow.
go up. It wasn't even very expensive. You go up. I was like 26 when I did this for my boyfriend, and you do whatever you want to do up there for 2 hours.
And turbulence.
And come. It was one. And you see the sunset during sunset. It's gorgeous. I mean, it's really
yeah,
wow.
a thing
that's, a cool
that's special.
Idea.
Actually, I've heard somewhere that there's a thing down from a while ago that they were talking about doing it only in space. They were going to call it the Million Mile High Club. And the thing is that I went on this mailing list and I asked everybody what they thought of it. And they said, well, you know, I would do it for free because if they paid me, then there'd be a word for it.
That is hilarious. Of course they would do it for free.
Okay.
That is funny.
Let's get on this subject of the centerfolds for 1994. The lineup, wow, beautiful. I've heard so many times from fans that the 90s were their favorites. You have
really?
So many. Oh, yeah. You have many great Playmates in your year. But
yeah.
And it also was like the 40th anniversary year, wasn't it, of Playboy?
Yep. And yep, it was.
So what was that in your mind? Did you even when you – obviously, you didn't even know that a Playmate of the Year title existed. I didn't. And you learned all of this as you were going through. How much did that matter to you?
Well, I didn't know. You're right. I didn't know because my world was so different. And then they're like, oh, you should be Playmate of the Year. And then I realized there was a lot of politics involved with it. So I really kind of – it wasn't like something I pursued, but – there's a couple of girls and one particular who actually ended up being a Playmate of the Year. And she asked me because she wanted it so bad. And I said, listen, I know, you know, some people that are up there. This is what you should do and this is what you shouldn't do. And she listened. And next thing I know that she was one of the Playmates of the Year. I'm not going to name her name
oh, yeah.
right now. But, but yeah.
So this
and
was
said,
after
you know,
your
it's a lot-
year.
Yeah, it's way after me. And because I kind of understood and realized that, you know, with the game, it really is a kind of a game. It was really politics.
I wonder what
I didn't spend enough time at the mansion to, like, just hang out. Huh?
But, Alon, you gave her some advice. You have to take some credit for it. I'm wondering what your advice was to this girl
well,
who
I
did get
to her
here.
Is to be friends with Hep's people, to spend time at the mansion. Be careful who you talk to because all the girls want that title. You know, they're kind of competitive with it. And I can't remember, Barbara, that was a while ago, but I told her
but be
worked.
Very nice, professional.
Yeah.
Just, you know, the,
yeah, she was
the
really
audience,
nice
basically.
And sweet anyway.
Yeah. Okay, let me
obvious,
ask you this, though. When, it wasn't it 1999 when Hef and Kimberly broke up around that time. So we had,
yeah,
I was there
time.
In 1992. That's a long time where it was a certain way.
Yeah.
When that happened, and also Christy Hefner, all of a sudden, the checks were signed by her. Did you notice any shift in the company at all?
It seemed a bit different. I had moved to the UK, so I was in the UK for like 10 years almost. So I wasn't up there doing all the parties anymore. It's weird because I know the boys are running the company, and I just it just cracks me up, but I just remember them being little kids running around the mansion all the time.
I know.
And they're like, oh, Finn. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Of course, they wouldn't remember. But I'm like, oh, my God. I remember they were little cute little boys running around. And now they're like totally, you know, it's their daddy's, their company now.
But not anymore. It's not
Cooper
Hefner's company.
I know.
Okay.
It's gone.
That was
bad. But I moved to the UK in the early 2000s. So when people were still doing the mansion and I moved and got married and I started having kids and then I didn't come back until like 2010, and then like around 2013-14 is when I kind of started popping back up on the scene because I lived in New York for a while. So I was
Several good years of coming back for the parties though and experiencing that
Were fun. The Halloween parties were probably my favorite. The Midnight Summer Dream party, and just actually going and giving people tours. You know, I was just telling someone a story the other day. I gave Eminem, because I watched the Super Bowl, a tour of the mansion, and he was like the sweetest, shy kid. I mean, we gave a lot of people, but the reason why I remember him is because, you know, Hef only allowed his friends to come up there, really. And then so people were, you know, the younger playmates are like, can you kind of start opening up and letting younger people come. And so Dr. Dre came and did like a whole hip hop party. And I remember I was laughing. I'm one of the two ethnic girls. And I was like, oh dear Lord, they're going to have a fit. There's these rappers on the grotto rapping.
That is funny.
This is not gonna happen again. I was cringing. I'm like, he's going to have a fit.
Wow.
Right? And so this young
thought up the idea.
The little dude comes up to me, and I'm tall, so I'm like, he's like, hi. And I'm like, hi. And they're like, oh, he's like, can you give me a tour of the mansion? I'm like, sure. And, of course, I love the animals. I want to go on the birds. And I was talking to him, and we were having fun. He was shy, and his album was coming out. It was a listening party. And he's like, yeah, that's my record. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. Didn't think anything of it. Talked to him half the day. It was Eminem. That's one of the things I think is quite funny because he's so sweet. And I see him now, and he's like totally like Mr. It's just he broke out, but he was really a kind of a shy guy. You would not know who he was if you saw him
but
at that
still
time.
Hot.
And
he's still hot.
Right, he is.
Today.
And he broke out his 14. Album.
All of her friends. Oh, my daughter is 14. Yesterday, one of her friends was over here.
Oh,
I said, have you ever heard of, you know, this band or that band? I'd like to know. Oh, her favorite white rapper, she has to say, is Eminem.
He broke his album at the Playboy Mansion. It was a listening party.
Wow.
His album wasn't even out. And he's like, oh, and it was Dr. Dre. And I have a picture of us at that party because someone showed it. And I was like, oh, I remember that. I'm in that picture with Dr. Dre. And I'm like, why am I in that picture with Dr. Dre? That's when he hadn't even released his – so you can tell your daughter. He hadn't – no album, no nothing. He was a listening party. And that's where he broke
his
record.
And, you know,
it was one of the private parties.
Hef's not going to really – I didn't see Hef as doing anything like, oh, you guys just decide. No, I really do believe that he – and why wouldn't he make final decisions?
Yeah, he made
the
decisions on everything.
Stuff.
It was his final say-so, you know. And then he would come out, and then the people would go crazy if he just came out in his robe. They're like, oh, my God, it's Hef.
They loved it.
Because
okay,
the men love
I
want
to ask
you
about, there is a centerfold in your year. Do you know all of your centerfolds? This one is Miss September.
Who's that?
Kelly Gallagher.
Maybe if I saw her. I know Jenny.
But I wanted to tell you this.
Manager.
I just want, she's so beautiful. White skin, gorgeous. But I know her story, and she doesn't care now. She just doesn't care if anybody ever knew she was a Playboy Playmate. But I got really close with her, and you know how you have a kindred spirit with somebody and you click and I was her one Playboy Playmate that she would like to contact to hear everything, what was going on, because she didn't care. And she just merely did Playboy to get the, I think it was $25,000 to pay off her school loans. And you know what? Her real name, she would show me her blueprints. She was an architect and a interior designer. And she would take me to her little cute apartment and show me her blueprints. And I mean, I feel like I'm still just straight out of high school. You know, I'm so young, but I couldn't even believe it. This place was neat as a pin. Did you know that she became world famous interior designer? I found her in all of the fashion interior design. She has her own very large studio on Melrose with the furniture and the design. Kelly Wurstler. Yes, Kelly Wurstler is her real name.
No,
and I
but I'm
so
going to go and talk to her. I want to remodel. I'm going to do my house. I'm like, hey, Kelly, remember me?
I think she should tap into that because I would love to get back in touch with her, and we just lost contact. But doing the show has gotten me back in contact with so many of my favorite playmates.
I don't remember her.
Including you.
Maybe if I saw her.
Well, yeah, I mean, in my year, I don't even know what happened to Katie Cantrell. And did you know three playmates in my year, 1992, are deceased?
Who are you talking about? Who died? Who passed away?
Sloane.
Do you remember?
Sloane.
I remember.
I do.
I remember her.
I do.
She used to work
remember.
With us all the time. And I liked her. She was so sweet. That was sad.
And remember, you were saying that Playboy really looked into your background. This was true. And they didn't want you to be a stripper. They wanted you to have all of the attributes of the girl next door, which normally was not a stripper. And they frowned down upon that. But I don't think that they found out. Right after Playboy, she went straight into stripping. And I was in Vegas. I was with a group of people. I went in. Oh, Tiffany Sloane is working here. Oh, my gosh. She comes out, and she's doing front handspring into two double back handsprings, swirling up straight down into the splits, swirling around all this water. I mean, she was a showstopper. She wasn't just a stripper.
Wow.
I mean, she was an acrobatic. I mean, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And, you know, even being in a strip club made me feel uneasy because I don't want these girls to be doing that right in their face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When she came out, I got it because I said, well, why you have the Playboy Playmate title? You are this year. And she was holding my hand and kneeling down in the club. And she said, I cannot make nearly as much with Playmate promotions.
Especially
that I can
in
make
Las
here.
Vegas.
Yes, but that
I
was her mentality.
Imagine. Yeah.
But see, that's what
he
did not want
to
get. Because guess what? He didn't want to get somebody like that and have all the playmates be, you know, stripper. Because not that I am judging her as being a dancer or a stripper. I know that that kind of atmosphere breeds some bad, seedy, horrible people. And that was her demise. And I think that's why Hess had those strict rules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the second one was Anna Nicole Smith. She was in my year.
Yeah. Oh, she was. Oh, she was so pretty.
Oh, my gosh. One of the most beautiful faces. So we all know about her story. And the most recent, which was only about 4 years ago, which you didn't hear about, was Stephanie Adams, Miss November, before my month, December. She committed double homicide. She threw her 7-year-old son off.
Where did she live like?
She was Afro-American, model in New York.
Black playmate?
Yes.
Wow. And she killed herself?
She was in a dispute with her.
I'm going to look her up.
About,
I have a question.
It was
for
very sad. No, hold on, but I'm not done. She threw her 7-year-old son off of the 8 stories off of a New York, right in the middle of the city, and then threw herself off. I mean, that is so tragic. And that's three in my year.
If you're gonna,
so,
do, if, first of all, you can't kill yourself. And if you do kill yourself, don't kill your child. You kill yourself, not the kid. What's wrong with you? Like, leave the kid. The kid didn't have to be here.
How old are your children?
Like, exactly. Don't kill the kids. You take yourself out.
You know what's going
on.
They're
really
7 years old.
That name sounds familiar. I do remember that name. I don't remember what she looks like, so I'm going to look her up.
Yeah, and that made big, huge headlines. But, hey, my point is that Hugh Hefner tried with his guidelines. He tried so hard to get the women in the magazine that he felt had promise, had, you know, they knew manners. He had them staying in the guest house at the Playboy Mansion at our time. You would have meals with him every meal. And, not your breakfast and lunch, but your every dinner. And, I mean, you were probably observed, don't you think? And now I am finding out they had cameras in every single room, and I'm thinking back about when I was in that little cottage.
Oh, I remember.
Did I do anything weird? Did I talk to myself?
Someone told me about the cameras. I knew about the cameras. I knew about that early on. The monkey cages were, a lot of people, because it was dark over there, and everybody wanted to see the monkeys. Everyone was like, oh, let's see the monkeys. That was my favorite. They were so cute, the little spider monkeys, and the owl was back there, right? But it was dark like a jungle in that area. And so my friend who worked there was like, you know, there's cameras everywhere. Don't ever make out or kiss anyone because there's cameras there. He said, and we got so much stuff. Everyone was getting it on in the monkey cages.
A lot. I did have sex with my boyfriend during the Super Bowl party in the Red Room.
Oh, you did?
I have a question.
Can
I ask you both a question?
Please.
This
is a question for the other thing. Okay, have you ever been somewhere where it was you and a bunch of other playmates, and then you saw a woman walked by and everybody was, all of you were staring at her because she was good looking?
Women always do that. We always see the pretty girl before the guys see the pretty girl.
Away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, playmate that kind of blew you away when you saw her. That, you know.
Yeah,
just
because
if we see
someone, we'll tell them. We'll go and approach the girl. We'll be like, oh, hey, you should try out for play. I mean, I've always been like that. If I see someone pretty, I'm going to go compliment them or say, you should work, you know, and try.
Has another playmate ever done that to you? Like, has I mean, you know, you see her walk by, the first time you saw her.
What do you mean? Like,
the
one that just you saw, like, oh my god, you know, she's amazing.
Who's your favorite?
When I saw Anna Nicole Smith, I thought she was really stunning when I saw her in person, because some girls
that's what
are
I hear
pretty
a lot,
in person. Some girls were pretty in the magazine, but in person they were pretty, but they were prettier in magazines. Some
Makeup
of the girls
with their friends.
I met were prettier in person than they were in the magazine. Barbara, you're pretty, so you don't count. So I'm not talking about you.
I think I'm a lot of things. Oh my
And Barbara always had really pretty, she has beautiful skin. I remember your ex-boyfriend talking about all your skin regimens because you always had really pretty skin tone, like a very even skin. You know who I always thought was really pretty? It was Layla Roberts. I always thought she was really unusual. To me, she looks like a blonde, I always tell her this, she looks like blonde Raquel Welch, and I was like Raquel Welch. So she was always one that I thought was really stunning in person. There's quite a few girls that are just Nariah Davis. There's a bunch of girls
all
are really pretty in person. The Tennysons are pretty. Yeah, everyone's just
and
different. All the girls are pretty.
Renee. And Nariah, which was in your year.
I love Nariah.
You had a great year.
Yeah.
You have, and awesome.
Yeah.
And these women had the most gorgeous bodies, but let's get back to your centerfold because I have it opened right in front of me right now. And it's so crisp. It's so light. It's so pretty. You must be very proud because it's straight on. Nothing wrong with you. Straight on, beautiful face. And right there, they didn't have to cover anything on you. You have little perfume bottles in the background. It's like your private little bedding area.
Little thing, yeah.
You
know
white.
What? Okay, so
white. Beautiful.
Well, when we did our test shoot, we had a photographer. There were so many. Honestly, I was not happy with my layout. But saying that is because I'm a model. So I was very particular about some of the stuff they shot. And there were so many pictures that they could have picked that they didn't that I thought were so much better. So some of them I'm happy with. Some of them I were like, oh, okay. But it came out nice. It's nice. But there was some stuff
that
was released later.
What about your actual centerfold, though? Because the small camera, yes, me too. I wasn't really modeling that much.
Yeah.
You, but the actual centerfold that they spent so much time on, though, with the
white on that one, I like the lace robe because I thought that one was very classy. There were some other pictures. That one I have. And I have a really big life-size poster. I think it's in my mother's storage. I don't even have it up. When my son was like 6 years old, this little kid used to come over our house. And the kid used to always say, let's go to your mom's room and play. And it took him a while to figure it out. And this little six-year-old wanted to go in the room. And my son comes in.
Wow.
He goes, Mommy. He goes, he always wants to come in the room. I think he's looking at your poster. We're not going in your room anymore. Those little things are funny when you have kids. Because I forgot that I had this big life-size poster me, but I kept it in my bedroom for that reason, right? And
they
my
must
son's
be
good, friends.
Though. Even though it can embarrass them.
My son is.
It can embarrass them at an age. But deep down, I really believe they are proud of their, beautiful mom. And
because
do you think the Playboy brand is still.
I think he is.
But it's still popular, the Playboy brand.
It is.
Isn't it?
Because
how old are your children?
My son is 17 and my daughter's 13. And my son came in last
13.
Night and he's like, my daughter's 13, and my son was like, I was watching this whole series of Playboy. I'm like, why are you watching? I haven't even watched the documentary. But he said, I saw your picture in there. I saw you. You were standing there with a group of people. And I was like, really? He goes, yeah, Mom. So that let me know he was happy. He doesn't say it, but he's probably like, that was my mom,
So
but
all the stories that are on there, I know you haven't watched it completely. You've heard about it, but do you think, which I don't think so, because we were talking earlier how he doesn't have regrets, and I feel like he doesn't feel like he did anything wrong. He told them what he wanted as a boyfriend.
I don't think he
wasn't breaking any law. Okay, so do you think that this is hurting Hugh Hefner's legacy?
No, I don't think anyone can. Honestly, they're like, oh, wow, he did this, he did that. I mean, things are coming out, but he's gone now. You know, some of the celebrities that are no longer here, now is the time for people to come out. Maybe they were afraid to say something when he was still alive or felt like they didn't have, because of the Me Too thing has given people a lot of, let them feel comfortable enough. I know some women who feel like they were abused sexually were afraid to come out. And it takes them to their, to a certain point where they can come out and say it. And I think some women also felt like they didn't make enough money during Playboy because they did use our likeness and still do. And we didn't make a lot of money, but you got the name and the notoriety and you could parlay it for your career. And I think going in, you have to know that. This is the stepping stone for me to get to the next level. And you had to be savvy enough to realize that, look, I'm going to use this. And then if I want to become an actress or a singer or whatever you aspire to do, like you said, the one girl is now a really well-known interior designer. You have to use it. And I think they had hopes and dreams becoming a superstar that Playboy was going to do that for them. That's not what Playboy did. That wasn't their job. So
no.
I think some people are disappointed. I think that's basically how I can put it.
It's just very fair to say that everybody has their own story because maybe everybody was treated a little differently.
Everybody
is.
I definitely
we're
do that.
Beings.
Yeah.
We're human beings. And there are playmates out there, Alon, who did not, in the 90s, did not get one promotion job.
Hey, I didn't even think about that because I thought everybody got promoted, did the promotion.
No. Everybody's. Right, so different. The ones that made the great first impression, who did a great job from the beginning, are the only ones that went on. So for the ones who didn't, and like you said, fought with anybody, especially the people who were in charge.
Yes.
But some of us got really
lucky.
Yeah,
you had to get along with the people who are working there, because they are the ones, you know, when you got to the agency part of it, they're the ones that can make you or break you. So if you didn't click with them, you weren't going to work. So you still had to be humble. But like I said, for me, because I had been modeling and I had been in the modeling agency, I kind of knew that there was a certain amount of respect. There was a certain amount of way that you have to talk to them. And it was business. At the end of the day, they may like you, but there were so many girls and so many beautiful girls that it was business. And you had to treat it like it was business. It's not just fun and games and hang out
and
at
click
the party.
With them. Okay,
yeah,
so
you have to click. Well, you have to be respectful and cordial.
Say you did a great job on a playmate promotion job, but you went up to the mansion. Okay, were you there to have fun and party or get more contacts or just look? Or because earlier you were saying we always got into shenanigans, and I didn't even remember that one. The limo.
Well, okay.
Is there something crazy?
No, you know what? It wasn't like it was on purpose, like, okay, we're going to go out and party and hang out. It was never, ever like that. But if something popped up, you were on it, and I would just start laughing. Or if someone of the girls would mess with you, you would put them in their place. And I was like, she's spicy. She doesn't take any shit from anybody. And that just made me laugh. Because I just thought it was so funny. And they're like, uh-oh, Barbara's going to tell them off. And I go, you go. I used to always say to you, go get it. You go, Barbara.
That's why they all thought I would do that one show, Alon. They all thought, because I had that personality, that I would for sure do that Survivor show. No way. I don't like holding my breath underwater with chains on me or eating, especially eating.
Oh, yeah. Remember they wanted
like
to do that? No, what show was that? It wasn't that. It was Fear Factor. Wasn't it Fear Factor they wanted the girls audition for? I was like, I'm not eating any bugs. We're too shishy. We're like, I'm not doing that. That's nasty.
Have you seen it?
My husband's friend was one that first started. He was on there, and I think he was like, he won, and he had to eat bugs. And I was like, ew. And I remember they wanted us to try out for Fear Factor, and I was like, I'm not doing it. I refused.
They were
shocked. It was another thing they wanted me to do. They wanted me to try out for, I think the Tennysons did it, where you had to do the wrestling thing, and then you had to do the sports stuff, and you had to run.
Oh.
I'm not athletic. I was like,
yeah.
I'm not doing that. I'm going to fall. I'm not athletic at all. They're like, you're not. I'm like, no, I fall out in 2 seconds.
I didn't see
that
one.
Yeah, I didn't do that either. I didn't do it, but
Alon, I just looked it up the other day. I was trying to find my Family Feud Playboy Playmate show, and there was like 4 playmates who actually did put their head in a cover with all the flies and had to eat strawberries, and they would actually, of course, get flies in their mouth and swallow a few flies.
Ew!
They all did it. All of them. All of them did
that's
it.
So
I mean, I want to pat them on the back. God,
I wouldn't do it. I'm not doing that. That's just, if flies are disgusting. Another thing, I'm really scared of snakes. I don't like snakes. I have a phobia. So I was like, and they had snakes on the show. I used to always see them bring snakes. I was like, there's no way in heck I'm doing that. And they bring a snake. That's it. So I was like, no, I don't want to do that one. But I remember had that. Go ahead.
About Hess, do you remember anything that he came up to you personally, looked into your eyes and said to you that you will always remember?
No, he never did anything like that. Not to me.
It was just like small talk.
Yeah, it was always small talk. And he was always just really nice and kind. Oh, nice to meet you. I mean, I would watch him with other people.
He
and I was
good
kind of
with
shy
the hug.
Back then. Believe it or not, I was really shy. You
me
wouldn't
too.
Know it, but I was kind of shy. So I wouldn't really talk to people that much unless I knew you and worked with you. I wouldn't go up and say anything unless someone would bring me up to talk to him because I was so shy.
He was a little intimidating to me.
He wasn't intimidating to me, but it's just more I was shy. When I did talk to him, I talked, you know, but I just kind of like, oh, okay, and I'd kind of walk away. I felt like I didn't want to, like, I always felt like I don't want to be the hanger-on and be imposing. But there's a couple of times, like, at night when they have movie night, I went up there, and it was fun, and then the food would be there. I always thought that was fun, movie night and food night. Those were my fun times when we weren't working, and there was, like, a
did
whole spread of food and movie night.
Ever date a celebrity that you met up there?
Hmm. I had quite a few celebrities hit on me, and I had dated a lot of celebrities. I don't know, think I met them at Playboy because they would hit on me, but the celebrities that I did date quite a few didn't already knew I was a Playmate. You know what I mean? Like,
do you
they
think they were
me
impressed?
Out.
So they were impressed.
Yeah,
by your
yeah.
Status.
They try to act like yeah. And then I would get phone calls, you know, and I tell the girls, when you first come out, you're gonna go to a whole string of celebrities calling, trying to
wow.
to go out with you. Like they were hey. Like they would call the office, can I go out with her? Can this one go
I
out with you?
Know.
And go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. I was gonna say something because okay. this is what I was gonna say earlier, and I really thought about this that the nerve center of fame in the United States is California, and I'm sure we'd all agree with that. And
yeah.
the nerve center of fame in California is Los Angeles, and I'm sure a lot of people will agree with that. The thing is that, and I'm sure both of you agree with this, that the nerve center for fame in Los Angeles was probably the Playboy Mansion. And
yeah.
Because this is one thing that's very unique about the Playboy Playmates, and I've sort of figured this out. You're the one celebrity that other celebrities will seek out and not the other way around.
Yes, isn't that funny? I didn't think about
that. I mean, you know, you're more likely to, like, if I take Barbara, if Barbara were to go to a place where there's about 10 celebrities, they will probably seek her out rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we are inviting, as the Playboy Playmate girl next door, they know that, hey, they're going to get a certain type of girl. And if they don't get a person being nice to them, who's a Playmate, then they would be surprised, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. The girls are, most of the girls are really nice. But, you know, for me.
You have one friend, Playmate friend, that you're still close to? I mean, very close to.
There's a couple girls I'm friends with, you know, like I said, I talked to Layla, but I always talk to her on like just Instagram and Facebook. I talked to Susie.
Susie, who?
You know,
Simpson?
I see that Susie Singstock. I see, talk to Susie Singstock.
Wow.
I talk to the Tennysons. When I see them quite a bit, I was running to them. I talked to Nefertiti. I talked to Sierra. I know Daphne Duplay. So, yeah, there's girls I talk to on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah, forever. And, you know, they'll be there for you. And
yeah.
Have you had a lot of fans that have stuck with you all these years? What is it, 25 years now?
Yeah, I do, which is exciting that they're still like, hey, what's up? How are you doing? And so that's pretty cool.
Say you didn't have anything else going on in your life. Which you do, which we're now going to get into in a second. But say you didn't, and you had still that Playboy Playmate title, which you always will have. Would there be a way for you to still make money if that's all you had?
Yes. You can
isn't
always find
good?
A way to make money. Yes, you can.
Isn't that great? But what
you always, because there's a lot of people that like the whole Playboy image, and there's always things that you can parlay it into.
So that in itself right there is legendary that Hugh Hefner
yes.
created that for us, a platform that we could really always use for the rest of our life.
He
Dolores
sure
Del Monte, 1994, was minimum $100 an autograph, maybe more now. But you always have a way to produce. But you don't have to
mm-hmm.
do that. You don't have to just use Playboy because you have become a producer and you are a host and have hosted many shows on the Discovery Channel. So tell us about some exciting things you're working on now as far as production.
Well, now I'm actually, because I wrote some scripts, my husband's in finance, so I lived in the UK. So I wrote a script about called The Traitor, which I was shopping as Billions because it's on TV now. They took my show, but that's needless to say. But I'm working on my book, so I've turned my play into a book called The Traitor. It's about Wall Street and the lifestyle. Now, I grew up in entertainment, so I grew up around money and I grew up around celebrities. But when I moved to the UK and got involved in the whole finance part. It's like a fraternity wild. It's literally like a male version of Playboy. It's wild. It's, you know, fun. It's the Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, all the stuff, Playmates is so funny. They would have a group of girls and they would have these girls host their parties. And I would ask him, so what kind of girls do you have? He goes, oh, they were hostesses like Playmates. And I just started laughing. But anyway, I'm working on that book. I have another book, which is about relationships, about the Women's Bible. And that's the name of it. And it's about relationships.
Oh, cool.
Child. And why we pick the people that we pick now. I went back to school and got a journalism degree. So I went into broadcast journalism. That's why I had, like, the hosting of the shows. And
I want to interject something. Yeah. Did Hef help with that? Because I know some Playmates who he gave them full scholarships for college.
No, he didn't. But, no, I didn't even think about asking when I went back to school because it was after I did Playboy. I wish I'd have known because I would have asked. But he did let me host a show that they had on the Playboy channel. It was a group of Playmates and was supposed to be like an ongoing show. He had a detective show on there for a while that I was on. And then there was a hosting show that I did, and it was live. And there was a whole bunch of girls, and you could call in. It was interactive. It was kind of fun. I don't know why he didn't keep it on. I don't think he liked it that much. He didn't keep it on. We had to, like, change. I have to look back on it, but we did that show on there. Just doing the mom stuff. I managed my son, who is getting a lot of notoriety as far as, because he has my father that's actually, you know, giving him the introduction into the music industry. So he's been doing a lot of TV stuff with him. He just did a song with a rapper called The Game. And The Game just did a song with Kanye West. So, you know, it's kind of coming full circle. So I've been managing my son doing that type of stuff. So I'm still staying in the industry, but I'm coming at different angles. I do, and I know there's a group of girls who have NFTs, which I wasn't even aware of, but I have a group of girls that are having some NFTs coming out soon.
Oh, I love that.
And we're finishing it up. So, yeah, it's kind of an active thing. So I will elaborate on it more. I can give me another week or two, and I can elaborate on it more. And,
yeah,
and that was something
I
had to do. Yeah, so I've been doing that for a while. And just using all my avenues that I can to parlay into other stuff. I produced a couple movies, and now I'm just kind of focused on doing the book stuff right now and finishing that up, because I started writing that book 15 years ago and haven't finished it. So I finally done. I went back to it. Both books I started like 15 years ago, but then I had kids and I kind of got sidetracked. So now I'm back in full force doing everything. And
during
Corona? That's work. No, just recently within the last few months, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to go back to that. No,
that's
I didn't
awesome.
Do anything during COVID. During COVID, I moved to Hawaii in eight.
That is a good decision. That was a good decision.
It was like one case. Oh my God! I rented a house, and it was so. I was at the beach every day. It was amazing. So, you know, I felt bad because I was like, I got to get out of this place, or I'm going to go cuckoo. And it was getting so bad in California. We just left and moved
over
there.
Well, you have so much energy,
four
Alon. I mean, you have
no,
so much
I
energy.
No, I don't have a lot of energy, but yes. I have a whole bunch of dogs.
Because you
have lots.
Well,
of go ahead.
Your dogs, but your kids too.
Dogs, yeah.
I mean, when. Yeah. Remember, 3 years ago I saw you. That's the last time I saw you because 3.5 years. And I thought
it was
doing
right
this COVID hair
yeah.
commercial with you with a lot of people. And you're like, no, it's my daughter. And you,
it's
so you have
daughter.
Time for yourself and your kids to get them
yeah.
into the entertainment business. Because that's a lot of work because, okay,
it's
you have to do your stuff.
Taking them around. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my daughter is not interested in it. My one thing about, well, like I'm focused on my son because my daughter is a very academic kid, super smart, very advanced to do all the book stuff. So she's not really into it as much, but my son is full force. So that keeps me really busy. And then me doing my stuff too, between the two of us. But like I said, you
wow.
know, no matter what age you are and what you're doing and having the Playboy background, you can always revive your career and reinvent yourself. You just have to find what your talent is and do what you like. And if you do what you like, you'll find that there's some talent there, and you have that Playboy name to try to ride on to promote yourself.
And you can do it. And that is very good advice. So, wow, yeah. It's so wonderful to hear one more very positive story about success from a Playboy Playmate. And we're proud of you. And that is one of the questions that we always ask. Are you writing a book? Or, you know, you should write a book. And you are on your second book. So that's cool. Where can we find your first book, which is titled?
Well, it's not out yet.
Within
6 months.
The Woman's Bible.
Oh, the Women's Bible. Okay, so that one's going to be out in about 8 months because I'm reviving a lot of it. The Traitor is going to be out within 6 months. So the Traitor is just about done. The Traitor's really good.
And we will
juicy. It's like a juicy story. A lot of cool stuff.
Oh, wow. Well, that is taking a lot of intelligence and probably research and all of your talent to come up with something that is a story that you actually write. And that's not easy.
Yeah.
So,
well,
cool.
This is easy, but you know what? The Traitor is basically like my life story about these guys. And they were like wild. That's why I said it's so juicy. Because I just watched what these guys were doing and just started writing about it. So there actually is true events, but I fictionalized a little bit of it. But it's
that
fun.
Sounds
it was like almost,
really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
They tied something
juicy
together.
Mm-hmm.
Juicy. We like that. And we do feature all of our guests that have written books. We like that because we will help you. We'll support you. We'll tell everybody where to purchase it. So we can't
and
wait.
That's one thing about my Playmate sisters. We look out for each other. I'm proud of you, too. It's great you're doing the show, and you've always been able to work and get stuff going. So, you know, we try to look out for each other because that's, you know, it's like a sisterhood for everyone.
Yes, and you are residing in the Californian area, like L.A. area. Where do you reside?
I'm in the Valley.
Okay.
I'm in the Valley.
So good, because if you're raised in New Jersey and you've modeled in New York, aren't you kind of torn, like, between the two? Because they're so both great.
No. So I left New Jersey when I was a little girl. So I was raised in California. I was raised in the Valley. So I moved out here when I was really young. Yeah. I only moved back for 2 years because after I was in the UK for so long, my husband was working there for 2 years in New York. And I went back and I was like, I don't like the snow, because I remember being a little kid in the snow. So I said, I'm going back to California. I can't stay. I don't like the cold. I do not
and
like
London.
Cold weather, so I didn't do well. London
great.
Was like that. I was there a long time. But I love California,
too, great.
Even with the crazies, because we have the crazies right now, but it's still great.
I know. I was able to go travel to London 2 times with Playboy, and that was amazing. For, you know, the Playboy home video, there was always different departments that needed a responsible Playmate who was really good. Believe it or not, there are Playmates that refuse to do the radio shows. I was on little
really?
Fest with
it was
yes.
Fun.
I couldn't believe it because I thought, well, they say you're on the radio show, you're going to go do the radio show. And she's like, I'm not doing it. Like, she was so afraid of doing the show. So some of them did slip in and were lucky to do a great event, but they didn't really do a good job for the company. And I think
yeah, I just don't think they were comfortable, probably. Well, thank you, Barbara. You too.
You
yeah,
are
uncomfortable.
Welcome.
They weren't comfortable. I enjoyed
and thanks
this
for staying on longer.
Guys.
We could talk to you for
oh, no, I don't
6 hours. There's so much. But
you guys are funny.
Charter.
You guys are fun.
We are. Thank
you. Guys
you.
Are fun.
Well, you.
Thank you for coming
you know,
on.
You put the cherry
thank
on
you.
Top of our day today. This was great talking to you. Wonderful, of course, to hear your voice and all the success, and that you continue to succeed. How wonderful. Miss June 1994, everybody. Playboy Playmate Alon Carter. Thank you. Do you have anywhere
thank
you want to send anybody if you offer an autographed photo or anything?
Oh, yeah.
Or to follow you on
social? I'm Alon Carter P on Instagram. And I am Alon Carter Price on Facebook.
Okay.
And so they
That's
can
easy.
Probably always send me a And I'm usually on Instagram all the time, so it's easy just to send me a DM me a message, and I'll get back to you. It's probably within a couple of days.
Okay. Well,
or a day or so.
Success. Yeah. Much success with the trader, your life story. And we can't wait until it's out.
Okay.
And we want you to have success with it and not get writer's block, because when you get that and you hit a wall and you don't know what to do creatively, it can be hard. So we will pray that you don't ever get that.
Thank you. I've been fortunate. I went to school long enough and they taught me how to get around that. It took a while, but they
That's
teach
another.
You how to do all that in school.
That's another subject, because we talk about all kinds of things on Life, Laughter, Happiness. So maybe we'll have you back on another topic.
Okay.
But we loved hearing about all your Playboy
that.
Experiences. And your centerfold is so beautiful. Alon Carter Miss, June 1994. And you can find this on our YouTube channel tonight. We are going to send it out to everybody so they can hear what you're doing now as well, in case they missed it live. So,
all right.
Thanks, listeners.
Thank
good night,
you.
Everybody.
Bye, you guys.
Thanks,
good night.
Ron.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
Great night. Bye-bye. Bye.